Now take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9. Our subject tonight, rescued from blindness. Have you been rescued? Salvation is a rescue. If you haven't been rescued, all right, then you're still blind. And every individual that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is in this category, whether they be in the First Baptist Church of Elmont or whether they be out in the gutter. And so tonight we're going to look, hopefully, at three things. We shall see, first of all, the condition of the man that we look at, the man that was born blind. And then secondly, we shall also see the consummation of grace. And thirdly, the reaction to true conversion. John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash, and I went, and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Shall we pray? Our Father, open our hearts now as we look into thy word. We're grateful, Lord, for that which you've shown us thus far, and we pray, help us to impart it unto these dear people as only thou art able. Give listening ears, attentive minds, and open hearts. And Lord, there are blind sinners here tonight. Open their eyes by anointing them as you anointed the man in the temple, that at the edge of the temple when you passed by while here on this earth. So work out thy purpose and glorify thyself in all that's done, said and done. And Lord, forgive us where we fail thee. We ask now for Christ's sake. Amen. As I mentioned before, our subject tonight is rescued from blindness. Now the story is very simple. The Lord Jesus and his disciples, he had come out of the temple because they were trying to kill him in the temple. And he walked between them so they couldn't touch him. He just walked between them and they didn't even see him when he walked out. And then he was outside the temple with his disciples and he came by and there they saw this poor beggar, that blind beggar sitting there. And so the disciples asked him a normal question. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? And the Lord Jesus said, neither one. But he was born blind that the works of God might be manifest. Now there's a great deal here, but we're not going to go into that right now. We're going to save that for some other time. But as we look at our lesson tonight, we want to see first of all the condition of this blind beggar. Now he was a beggar. Now what is it? It's a picture of a sinner outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You sinners here tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, you're outside the temple. You see, the temple is reserved, or the temple in those days was reserved for those that were in good health. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? A leper couldn't go in the temple. A beggar was not in the temple. A blind man was not allowed in the temple. You know why? God gave orders to that. In the tabernacle, he told everybody, he said, if you have any blind person, or you have any leper or anything like that, he said, you put them outside the camp. Now, there's a spiritual meaning there. You see, God will not accept the worship of a blind person. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, an individual can be just as religious as they can be. But if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, put it down. God does not accept of all you. And this man was a blind beggar. And as we look at him tonight, we see him a picture of a sinner. A sinner without Christ at this hour. Now, notice, in John chapter 9, and verses 1 we read, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now here you have his condition. He was born blind, And that's the picture of every sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ. You were not born with eyesight to see the Lord Jesus. You were born a blind sinner. And if you're here tonight without Christ, and several of you are, all right, you're still blinded. Now you're blinded in your mind. You're blinded in your soul. You can't see. And you won't be able to see until the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes. And because you are blind, you are also like this beggar. Where was he? Outside of the temple. He was not allowed to come in. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it's the same thing that's true today. People without the Lord Jesus Christ can't come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus. They've got to come God's way. And that means they've got to be healed of their blindness. Now, let's look at the blindness of the sinner tonight for just a moment or two. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. And listen to what it says. Here's the condition of every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you be in this building tonight or whether you be out there in the gutter. They're not a bit of difference. If you're in this category, this is where you are, and this is the place we were. And Paul puts that in there under the inspiration of the Scripture to keep a believer from becoming proud and arrogant and haughty. There's no room in the life of a believer for pride and arrogance and haughtiness. Well, why not, preacher? Because this is what we were. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Look at it. Wherefore, remember. Remember what? That ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now that's a sinner without Christ. That's you tonight with six. This is your category. If you're not in Christ, which means you don't know Him as your Lord and your Savior, this is your category. You are have no hope. You're without God in this world. Now you may say, well, Pastor, that's my condition. All right, then I've got hope for you. This is a condition of the blind man. The second thing about him was this. He was a beggar. As Jesus passed by, he saw a beggar blind from birth. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, he was a beggar. Now, a beggar is someone that is dependent upon somebody else. Now, don't get proud. And I don't know about you, but I like the way old Katie played that night, didn't you? I mean, the Lord's blessing her. And I like the way Kara plays. I think there's some real competition between those girls. And I'm glad to see it. You know why? Because both of them will get better. And that's the way it works. And it won't be long. We hope that we can start using them. Maybe on a Wednesday night in the near future. Eva wouldn't mind, I know. Because we know she's like I am, and Ruby's the same way, and my wife, we could say, all right, hey, wait a minute, we're starting to go downhill. We've got to have somebody that can step in. And always remember that when you operate in a church, you always have plan A, and plan B, and even plan C. And we hope that these kids that are coming up, and I'm glad they're as young as they are, because that means we'll have them here for a while. And as they improve, then we can start using them. And the more that we use them, the better they'll get. So all of you that are taking instrumental music, all right, do your best. We got a place for you. And don't you ever forget it. And so keep working real hard at it. Because this church is a beggar of a church. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I'm not a beggar. Yes, you are. Everybody here tonight is a beggar. You may have $1 million. The other day I got a letter, and I'll tell you, I opened it, and I didn't know it wasn't addressed to me. I opened it, and before I realized it, I looked at it, and then there was a check. And it said in this check, $29,000 and some dollars. And I found out that it was a principal. And that check was made out, and they were paying interest on that $29,000 and some dollars. And when I looked at it, it wasn't even addressed to me. How it got in my box, I don't know. But I took it back to the post office, I glued it back on, and never said a word, and took it back to the post office. I said, all right, somebody may have $29,000, but I'm telling you right now, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're a beggar. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? A beggar is one that is dependent upon somebody else. And everybody in this room, and everybody in this world, is a beggar before God. What are you talking about? You and I are dependent upon God for the air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, We're dependent upon God for the moving of our bloodstream, which is a moving cafeteria, and it's also a garbage disposal at the same time. And if God stops it, I'm going to tell you right now, we'll die. We're dependent for everything. And we need to realize that. And people, you know, they lift their haughty hands and they say, well, I'm my own man. I'm my own self. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm a self-made man. Nonsense. All they are is a proud old toad when they talk like that. They're puffed up with a lot of hot air. And we find that if the Lord God of heaven ever sends a sickness to them, they're the first ones to cry out. But every one of us need to recognize this, that you and I are beggars. Now, in being a beggar, we are a beggar before the Lord Jesus Christ. And this blind man was a beggar. He sat outside and he begged outside the temple. And notice what happened. We find in verse 1, John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. All right? Now turn again, if you will. Just turn the page in your Bible, if you will, and look at verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And so we see he is a blind beggar, and a sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ is outside of the temple, away from God, and a sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ is a beggar and dependent upon the Lord God of heaven for everything. You're dependent upon your life, not for your physical life, and don't you ever forget it. This is the way we are. And as believers, we need to be brought to that more, to be brought to that reality more and more, because there's a tendency on the part of us as believers that we get pretty proud in ourselves. Oh, I'm a child of God. And I can look down at somebody else that's not a child of God. No, sir. You don't look down upon them except in mercy and in compassion. And ask the Lord to give them what he gave you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a condition of a sinner. Then we find also he was helpless and ignored by the world. Now, I'm going to tell you again, you young folks that are here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil doesn't care if you go to hell. He wants you to go there. That rock and roll group don't care if you go to hell. They're going there. They want you to go. And I'll tell you something else. The world as a whole doesn't care if you die and go to hell. Now, how do you know that, preacher? Well, look again. John chapter 9, and look at verses 1 through 3. And we find very clearly, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now what do you have here? All right, the disciples didn't care about that man. What are you talking about? We find very clearly he was helpless and ignored by the world. When the disciples walked by, they looked at him and they said to the Lord Jesus, Master, how come this man's born blind? And these disciples, now put it down, these disciples knew Christ. And it sets forth here the lack of compassion on the part of the average individual concerning those outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in that category? I hope not. If you are, let's get out of it. If you're a believer, you pray for those around here that don't know the Lord Jesus. You lay hold of the Lord God of heaven. Have your burden. And when he does, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll wake up in the night and you'll begin to pray unto the Lord God of heaven, and then one by one, you'll see him come to know the Lord Jesus, and you'll rejoice that they too have been brought out of your blindness like you have. But the average believer today doesn't care. And we might as well face it. And I'm afraid we're in that category too. Now, last week, we had lots of kids in our Bible school. I don't know how many of them were asked to come to Sunday school and CWT and TFC and so on, but the answer came clearly back, no, I'm not going to come, but I'll come next year to Bible school. All right, I hope the names and addresses were obtained, and I hope they were recorded, I should say, and I hope that the Sunday school teachers and those that help will make it a point to call on those kids again. You see, you've got an in with them now. They'll recognize you as the Bible person. And you've got an in with it. And like Tim said tonight, and I verify it again, I'm glad he did. All right? Pray for those kids that were here last week. We could have had probably 125 decisions if we would have put a lot of pressure on them. But that's all they would have had. Now we've asked the Lord to do this. Plant that seed in their hearts. And as he does, You make a contact with them and pray for them. And if you see them on the street or in the grocery store and everything like that, and see what happens. And ask the Lord to give you a burden. Well, why? This man was helpless. People today, they say, well, how come he's in the glory? Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? And that's brought out very clearly in today's society. And you know, the society today are trying to do this. They're trying to pin everything on the parents, aren't they? Even with the serial killer that we have going around in Highland Park at this hour, when they get him, you mark my word, the psychologists will come along and say, oh, he had the wrong upbringing. His mother and his father must have abused him somewhere down the line. And society and this environment that he was in caused him to turn in that category. And they missed the whole boat. The reason a man turns that way is because man is a totally depraved sinner. And don't you ever get away from that. Your environment will have nothing to do with it. You can take the person and put them in the best environment there is. And if they don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual will turn out to be the most incorrigible person that can ever walk in shoe leather if God doesn't put His restraining grace on him. Environment doesn't mean a thing. Now I tell you this, because this is the condition of a sinner. He not only was blind, he was a beggar, he was outside of the temple away from God, he was helpless and ignored by the world. And sinners today are helpless and they're ignored by the world. And then we find, last of all, look at the man incidentally. You do not hear that man crying for the Lord Jesus to help you. Look again, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. There's not one word of request on the part of that individual. Now why not? If man doesn't want to be saved, if he can help. Now you turn to Romans chapter 3 and you look with me, if you will, at verses 10 through 12. And you'll see what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 we read, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now look at these words. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And here you have the situation of every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you sinners here tonight, let me ask you this question. Are you interested in finding Christ? Well, you say, yes, preacher, I am. All right, how come? Let me tell you, God put a work in your heart. You wouldn't even be here if God didn't bring you here. You wouldn't be listening if God didn't give you listening ear. You'd just more or less be looking out the window and going to sleep, like some people do, and yawning, you know, and they just think about everything else, and the words of the pastor become just like a drone, and if they're not careful, when they walk out sometimes, if they don't pay a little bit of attention, they'll be caught red-handed when it's time to stand, and they'll be sitting there. But when God opens the heart of a sinner, He puts a desire in that sinner's heart, like I brought out this morning. And if there's a desire in your heart tonight, I have hope for you. If there's not a desire in your heart, we're going to pray that God will put it there, because without God putting it there, you cannot be converted. Now here's the condition of this man. This is the condition of every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, go back to 9 and get the second aspect of our lesson for a few moments. And we see here now not only the condition of the man, but now let's look at the consummation of grace. Now what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor, bestowed upon those who don't deserve it, resulting in spiritual blessings being given to that individual. Now that's one definition of grace. Grace also is God's redemption at Christ's expense. And when an individual is saved by grace, it means that they absolutely deserve nothing. And then God gives us everything. And this man here was a blind beggar. He had nothing, he could do nothing. He deserved nothing. He wasn't even interested in the things of the Lord. And yet, in grace, the grace of God came to him personally by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day in your lifetime, it took place, or else it's taking place, where the grace of the Lord God of heaven is stopping by your heart's door and knocking for entrance. And aren't you glad that it is? And aren't you glad that it took place? If you're not, then you've never been truly converted. Now, as we look at the consummation of grace for just a few moments, we find five things, and five again is the number of grace all through the Scripture. First of all, in John chapter 9 and verse 1, we read, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now, what happened? The Lord Jesus was passing by, and the Lord Jesus Christ saw this man. Now, here you have the first aspect of grace, Christ coming to the individual. Now, his disciples went this with all. You see, he was walking by, going out of the temple. And as he stepped outside of the temple, there by the edge of the road sat that man. And I personally believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ saw that man, I believe he just stopped. He stopped and looked at him. And aren't you glad he stopped for you? Now, what did he do? He saw the man. The man didn't see Christ. You see, he's blind. And until the grace of God comes to your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never see Christ. And the Lord God of heaven has got to stop at your heart's door. And when he does, he's going to stop and he's going to look at you. And what does it mean? It means that he comes to the individual. Grace always comes to the individual before the individual comes to grace. Now keep that in mind. Now notice what happens. We find also the disciples ask him this question. In verse 2 they said, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Alright, now why did Christ come to this individual? You sure? You say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the purpose of God was to be set forth and God was to be glorified. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to you? The same reason. The purpose of God was to be set forth and God was to be glorified in your redemption. Because, you see, we are saved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. No other way. And we see very clearly, the purpose of God was set forth. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can have here the purpose of God set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ was to save that individual. Now that brings us to the second thing about him. And not only was the purpose of God set forth, but we find also that predestination was being carried out. Now this church doesn't flinch from predestination because I've preached it to you for 30 years. But the average individual or the average so-called church, they never hear about predestination. Now predestination is simply God's blueprint. And you better understand it. God has a blueprint. And he's not deviating from it one iota. Now what's he doing? He's working according to that blueprint. And in the blueprint of God, listen now, it was decreed by the Lord God of heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ was to stop by outside of the temple, see that man who was born blind, and he was to heal him just the way that he did. Now someone might say, "Oh, now preacher, wait a minute. No, that's fatalism." No, you have God's predestination brought in there. You have God's providence brought in there. And before we get through, we'll also show you man's responsibility. But we find very clearly, our Lord was to carry out God's predestination. Now, what in the world are you talking about? All right, go back to John chapter 6, if you will, and look at me at verse 37. And listen to what it says. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And the incident in John chapter 9 is this. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." The blind man was one of the individuals that God had given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it was imperative for him to come to Christ, and he had to come. Now, I don't know whether you enjoy that or not. That as we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were talking about that last night at Greg and Mary's home, it means that when we believe in the doctrine of election and predestination, you know what it does? It keeps us from being discouraged. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, when you believe in God's election and predestination, you know that God's elect are out there somewhere. You know that. And you know also that as the preaching of the Word of God and the witness of the Word of God goes home as it's indicted by the Holy Spirit, rest assured of one thing, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see? I'm going to tell you this here tonight. If you're one of God's elect, and as far as I know you are, you're going to come to Christ. You're going to come to Christ. Rhea was here this morning after being ill for a long time, and she was hugging Darla a little bit, rejoicing in the fact that Darla had gotten saved while she was there. But I want to tell you right now, ever since I held Darla's hand when she was 2 years old in vacation Bible school, I've been praying for that girl. And I'm praying for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, sinner, you're not going to get away. Now you're not. You're going to come to Christ. Oh, you may say, preacher, I'm not. Yes, you are. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now you're not going to come kicking and screaming in rebellion like we had a little girl this past week and she came in and, boy, I was up in the radio room and I heard her kicking and screaming and hollering and I just said out loud, I said, take that little kid home. I'm glad nobody heard me. I was up the radio. What else? And I said, we can't put up with that. Well, what happened was, she had come with her sister. And if they had to take her home, her sister said this, I don't want to take her home. She said, I don't want to miss Bible school. So they sent the older sister down with the little girl. She stayed with her for there maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And she went back to class, the little girl was fine. Now, why do I tell you this? When God's sinner kicking and screaming and groaning and hollering everything else in rebellion, that sinner's going to come begging for the Lord to have mercy on them. Because God's people become begging. Now, as the Lord Jesus passed by, we find very clearly, he pointed out to his disciples, he said, this man was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Now you think on that. Whenever the works of God are to be made manifest, God does it according to his way. And don't you ever forget that. And people today, now I'm going to tell you right now, individuals today that smoke pot, everything like that, and smoke cocaine and rock and all that foolishness, all right, I'm going to tell you right now, it affects them. And it's going to affect their children. And they're going to bring forth children that are addicted and everything else, and those that smoke cigarettes and all that, it's been a proven fact that it affects the child that is in that mother's body. All right, but if an individual tries to live a normal life and they abstain from all that foolishness, all right, and then perhaps they may come back and somebody may, now like in my own family or in the western part of the state, I have a nephew there that has had 2 children. And both of them are afflicted. One of them recently died with a cerebral hemorrhage. Those kids have never smoked. They've never drank. They're church-going people. As far as I know, they love the Lord. And yet it brought about, all right, how come? I'll tell you, that the works of God may be made manifest. And don't you ever forget that. And that's what the Lord Jesus told these disciples. And in the consummation of grace, we have to understand this, that Christ comes to the individual, that the purpose and predestination of God might be carried forth. The second thing is this. The individual is made cognizant of his condition. Now, preacher, what more are you talking about? John chapter 9, look again, if you will, at verse 6. When he had thus spoken, or when Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which occasion sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, what do we have here? All right. We have here the individual being made cognizant of his condition. What did our Lord do? Now listen. He spit on the ground. He took that spittle and mixed it with a little dirt, and it became clay. And he put it on the eyes of the individual. And he told that individual very clearly, now you go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that meant that this blind beggar, he had to go, he knew where the pool of Siloam was. But he had to go to the pool of Siloam, and I'm going to tell you this, he went alone. And as he went, he no doubt stumbled. And he no doubt struggled. And he had to feel his way until he came to the pool of Siloam. But we see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ not only made the man cognizant of his condition. But he also conducted him in the right manner. Now, being made cognizant of his condition, it means this: the Lord Jesus anointed his eye. Now, that word anointed means to lay upon. And the clay is an emblem of the Word of God, which is the unlikely means to the opinion of the natural man. Who in the world ever heard of a blind man having his sight restored by somebody putting clay upon their eyes and telling them to go wash in a pool of water? Isn't that ridiculous? To the natural man it is. Alright? Who ever heard of a sinner, even like the man that killed those four girls? There's still a possibility for that man to be converted. Did you know that? Here he's guilty of this heinous sin, and the psychologist has come along and said, oh, back in his lifetime he had something wrong and everything like that. No, sir. The whole problem is this: he's nothing but a poor, demented sinner, and he's setting forth his total depravity. I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I'd be just like him. Is there a possibility for that man to be saved? There is. Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. Like somebody said, that man ought to be put to death. I agree, he should be. Because the Bible teaches it. But we find very clearly, that man still has the possibility of coming to saving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, now, preacher, wait. Don't expect me to believe that. That person's too far gone, is he? Not in God's eyes. You mean to tell me that if that person would come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you mean to tell me if that killer down there would simply ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him from his sin, he'd be saved? That's right. That's exactly right. And that's exactly the way you have to. And there's no way around. And we see set forth very clearly that an individual has to be made cognizant of his condition. And I believe if you listen to the testimony of the man, I think he's aware of it. Not into the fullest extent. And I hope the Lord will open his heart. And I'd give anything if I could sit down and talk to him. I hope some preacher down there get down there and talk to him about Christ. Nobody else seems to be interested. That man is a fit candidate for grace. Did you know that? Are you here tonight? Oh, I'm not like that. Well, then you're not a fit candidate for grace. You see, for you to be a fit candidate for grace, you got to be a beggar. And you got to be worthless. And you know nothing and have nothing and are nothing and can do nothing and deserve nothing. And when we come to that category, and that's where the Holy Spirit of God turns us to be, shows us what we are, then we become a fit candidate for grace. And our Lord, he took the spittle that he had made and he anointed. He laid upon the eyes of this man that little bit of clay that he had made. And he told him very clearly, he said, now you go wash in the pool of Siloam. And beloved, when he anointed it, he laid it on. All right, now hold it. The Lord Jesus Christ made that man fully aware, more than ever before, of the blindness of his true condition. See, that man couldn't see. And our Lord took that clay and he put it upon the eyes of that man and he pressed it on there so it would stay. And listen now, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and presses it upon the blind heart of the individual, and that individual becomes cognizant of his need. And that's the way the Lord God of heaven works. Has he worked that way in your heart? I pray he has. All right, but there's a third thing. Then he's conducted in the right manner. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, notice what our Lord said in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came, see. Now, here he was conducted in the right manner. In what way? The Lord Jesus Christ gave to the man the spoken word of which he hears. Now, I'm telling every sinner here tonight, the only way for you to be converted is you've got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has already come to you, or you wouldn't even be here. There's already a working somewhere down the line. How light it may be, we don't know. Maybe it just came out of curiosity. I don't know. That usually happens. And sometimes when an individual comes out of curiosity, the Lord God of heaven hooks them, and they got to come back. Boy, to see it take place. But some of you here, you're here regularly. And if I were to come to you personally and say, all right, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? A number of you are going to say, no, I don't. All right, I've got good news here. Are you a lost sinner? Yes. Okay, then I'm going to give you the right instruction like the Lord Jesus Christ gave to this blind man. What did he tell him? He said to him very clearly, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now he was conducted in the right manner. The blind man was given the spoken word which he hears. Now listen. We tell you the same thing. You're hearing this tonight. Sinner, you go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Him right there with your heart, right there in that seat. Now how come, preacher? Well, the pool of Siloam, and it's very interesting why this is in there. Look at the interpretation. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Now how come? All right, the Lord Jesus Christ tells every sinner here tonight, sinner, you hear that you are given the spoken word, which is what you hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, the second thing is this. We find you are to go to the written word. And that's this book right here. And what does it do? It reveals the living word. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you listening? Both of them have been sent by God to this earth. Did you follow me? All right, now notice. We find he's conducted in the right manner. But now we come to the human responsibility. The man was chargeable. Now he was told by Christ where to go, and he was told by Christ what would happen. Look at what he said. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Now here's the responsibility of the individual. He was told by Christ to go where he would be healed. And all we've been telling you down through the years from this pulpit, you are to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be healed of the blindness of your soul. Now wait a minute. There's a charge and a responsibility resting upon that man. That man could have said this, oh, I'm blind, I can't find my way. Oh, I'd like to go. But they never make a move. And I'll tell you something, man. He never would have come away seeing either. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, here you have a little bit of faith exercise. And this faith was given to this man. And notice what it was. He believed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? The Lord Jesus said to him, go to the pool of Siloam. That's what he told him. Sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ tells you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe what God says. For he that cometh to God must believe of him that diligently seeketh him. And my Lord will not turn you down. All right, now notice what he did. He believed the words of Christ. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. When you believe somebody or something, you act on it. Now I was standing back there this morning. I guess I'm going to tell my wife to go away real often. You say, why, preacher? Well, when she's not home, I get invited out to dinner. When she's home, I don't get invited out. And today I had 3 invitations. I could only take 1. And we find I took the first one that asked me. And it so happened that it was Tim and Bud. And you want to know something? Here's what she told me. She said, Pastor, come over and eat dinner with me. She said, we'd love to have you. I said, okay. I said, when do you want me to come? She said, well, come after church. She said, it'll be done. But it wasn't. But it was almost. And she didn't have burnt dinner, so I didn't preach too long. And that made me feel good. All right, now what happened? Are you listening? I believe. What did she say? You're welcome. What else did she say? We'll be glad to have it. What else did she say? I've got something for you to eat. Now, I could have sit back there and said, all right, well, I might. I guess that's what you're saying. But you know, really, I can't.
Well, why can't you? It's a lame brain excuse. When God tells you to do something, I'm going to tell you very clearly, He'll give you the ability to do it. Now, this man believed and acted and came away seeing. And when you believe what God said and you act on the promises of the Lord God of heaven to your heart, I'll tell you right now, you'll come away rejoicing because you'll be redeemed. But the responsibility is on you. Now, finally, my time's gone. You see, I got three parts of the sermon. I've only got two. You all got to go to work tomorrow or else I'd keep you. But we find one more thing. Now, notice what happened. All of this, the healing of the blind man, was all done for God's glory. And the salvation of every sinner is always done for the glory of God. Now, where in the world do you find that? John chapter 9, verse 4, look at what it says. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And then in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And what was the works of God? That man was to be healed. That man was to be converted. And that's the works of God. And it was done for God's glory. Well, how do you know? Well, take your Bible now and follow with me. Look at John chapter 9, verse 11. They asked him, how were you healed? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. Who got the glory? Verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He is a prophet. Is the Lord Jesus a prophet? He is. Then look again. Verse 30 down through verse 33. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Who's getting the glory? God. And are you listening? When God saves an individual, He does it for the glory of God, because we are saved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Now let me close. My time's gone. This man did nothing, had nothing, knew nothing, but received everything. And sinner tonight, I want to say to you very clearly, you want to be saved, all right, the Holy Spirit is pressing upon your heart, your condition before God, you're miserable, you're unhappy, you're moody and everything like that, and you're filled with frustration, so to speak. You can't find your way out in the quandary that you're in. All right, we have a way for you to get out of it, and that is this. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go to Him, He'll not turn you down. He'll receive you. He'll save you. He'll open your blind soul, and the light of God will shine in. And I'll tell you right now, you'll come away rejoicing because God has redeemed you. Now the responsibility is in your hands. And then those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, as often as you can, you share with people how God saved you. Don't try to talk about theology. They'll suck you into a theology discussion and try to tie you in knots. When that is brought up, you just want to say, well, all right, let me tell you what happened to me. I really don't know much about theology, but let me tell you how the Holy Spirit of God dealt with me in conviction. And you tell them truthfully. And if you don't know something, all right, be honest and say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And then don't be surprised at what will happen. Now, you sinners here tonight without the Lord Jesus, I want to say to you very kindly, you can be saved right there. The man was told to go to the pool of Siloam. He did. Can't you see him? I can. Stumbling along the road. He probably fell down more than once. He was blind. He may have even had to ask somebody, is this the way to the pool of Siloam? And they probably say yes. But I want you to notice very carefully, The man did not quit. He didn't quit. You know why? His salvation and his eyesight was at stake. And sinner, if God's dealing your heart with your heart, whatever, no matter how long it takes, don't you quit. You've got nowhere else to go. You go to Christ. He'll open your heart. He'll save you. And you'll become like the blind man. And this is what he said. Listen, he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And all of us that are here tonight can say very clearly, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see, because Jesus Christ died, and he died for me. Is that your testimony? I pray that it is. Shall we stand? Take your songbooks, and I don't know the number, it's only trusting. What is it, Ruby? 188. I didn't write it down on my bulletin.